9:08 a.m. Today is November the 9th. Excuse me, sorry. 2016. Good morning to everyone. Welcome to Dallas City Hall. And we have a quorum. I want to double check. Oh, I thought I saw. Okay, somebody stepped out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Somebody walked out. Okay, we will be right with you. We have 9. If I counted correctly, correct? Okay. So we will begin. We will call this meeting to order, and we will begin with our invocation. And this morning, we have Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Callender from Bentwood Terrell Presbyterian Church. She is in District 12, and Ms. Grayson's district is a representative. Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Callender began her ministry at Bentwood Terrell Presbyterian Church in May of 2010. She came to the National Capital Presbyterian in Washington, D.C., where she served in various capacities in her local congregation, including preaching, teaching, and serving as elder. She is a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary in Princeton. She attends the University of St. Andrews in Scotland before being awarded a Ph.D. in Systematic Theology from the University of Otago in Dunedin, New Zealand in 2011. Elizabeth's previous career was in architectural and design, having attended Rice University in Houston, Texas, and the Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, New York, with a Bachelor of Industrial Design. She worked for several architectural firms in Dallas and worked on renovations for Children's Medical Center and designed offices for several law firms, retail spaces, and apartment complexes in the area. She is a mother of two adult children, Daniel and Catherine, and is a lifelong Dallas Cowboy fan. So please help me welcome Dr. Elizabeth Callender, and if you all will please stand. And after this, we will have Ms. Grayson do our Pledge of Allegiance, please.
On this day of all days, to come together as one, to seek your guidance for this city and for these civic leaders. We ask that honor and compassion inform their discussions, that wisdom and truth guide their decisions, and that hope for a better future for all citizens determines each visionary plan set forth. We pray for every member of this council, for Mayor Rawlins as he is traveling on behalf of this city, for Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo as she leads this meeting, for all the staff who support the council and its essential work, and for all the city employees, especially those who risk their lives for our continued safety. From your almighty presence, may each person draw strength for their tasks, combat evil with goodness, and pursue justice and peace for all. Bless their work together, that they may overcome obstacles and divisions, seeking to represent all people as they unite to accomplish the greatest good for Dallas and North Texas. We thank you, gracious God, that these council members have been elected to this high calling and have been gifted as good stewards to accomplish much on behalf of this city. May they do so this day and every day hereafter. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Callender, and thank you, Ms. Grayson. I also wanted to recognize the Dallas Regional Chamber Young Professionals Group who are here, if y'all would please stand. We are joined today by members of the Dallas Regional Chamber Young Professionals. This 400-member organization aims to develop the Dallas region's future leaders by providing ambitious young professionals with the opportunity to build relationships, serve the community, engage with political, civic, and business leaders. They hope to work with the city to make the Dallas the best place to live, work, and play. They will tour City Hall today and visit with some of our staff. So welcome to your City Hall, Dallas City Hall. Thank you. With that, Madam Secretary, we will begin with our morning speakers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. There have been some changes on the on the speakers list from what you received last night due to cancellation. Our first five speakers are Richard Sheridan, for whom you have received a handout, Dominique Alexander, Christian Yazdanpana, Jose Barrientos. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks will be removed from the session of the meeting. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. You should state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Alonzo. Again, your first speaker is Richard Sheridan, will be followed by Dominique Alexander.
Yes, good morning, Richard Sheridan. Appreciate being here. 3817 Vinette Lane, Dallas, Texas. I'd like to make a brief comment about the presidential election last night. As JFK was not perfect, Donald Trump certainly isn't perfect. He gave a great speech about coming together, so I believe we need to pray for our next president. I'm here to speak about JFK and the Dallas Citizens Council. Soon we will again honor former President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, certainly one of the greatest presidents in our nation's history. Hundreds of thousands of people from all over our nation and world still come to Dealey Plaza trying to find an answer to the why, how, and who questions. My speech today hopefully will partially answer the why and who questions. The following is a portion of the speech that President Kennedy gave on April 27, 1961, before the American Newspaper Association, and it certainly is as relevant, if not more relevant today than it was then. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free society, in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and secret proceedings. We have decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. There is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic, ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. It's a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. 2.5 years after JFK spoke these very revealing words, he was assassinated by the same secret societies that he was exposing. JFK's assassination was both a national and local conspiracy. What part of his assassination did the Dallas Citizens Council play? The Dallas Citizens Council was founded in 1937 by former mayor and KKK member R.L. Thornton. He is glorified today with his name on a major highway in Dallas. The Dallas Citizens Council was and still is a very racist, money-hungry, war-mongering group. They hated JFK for a number of reasons. JFK was beginning the civil rights movement, and Dallas was still under the Jim Crow laws. Oil billionaire H.L. Hunt was heard saying repeatedly that JFK must go, i.e. be killed. JFK was beginning to truly serve the American people by pushing for a greater share of our nation's oil revenues, by getting us out of Vietnam, by printing billions in constitutional non-Federal Reserve money, and most importantly, working with Russia's Khrushchev to stop World War III. Boy, time sure does fly. The Dallas Citizens Council is one of today's secret societies that JFK spoke about in 1961, which is a ruthless conspiracy group that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. Some members include Walt Eumann, Ross Perot Jr., James Jones LaSalle, etc. The citizens of Dallas can do very little about ridding our city of the Dallas Citizens Council. However, we can and must do is remove all those city council members who
Thank
are servants of the Citizens Council, either in the next election
Thank
or
you,
by
sir.
A recall election
it.
That certainly includes Mayor Rowland.
Your next speaker, Dominique Alexander. Mr. Alexander will be followed by Christian Yazdanpana and Jose Barrientos.
Hello, how you doing? My name is Minister Dominique Alexander. I'm located at 2512 East Overton Road, Dallas, Texas, 75216. I come this morning knowing exactly what we see in the results of our presidential election. The problem is that what we see in this country, the blame game has been done too long in this city. Since the respects of July 7th, we have allowed the blame game to go on too long. The death of these officers are still on the quorum of this governing body. The blood of these officers are still on the hand until someone convene a conversation, until someone convene an action plan that addresses the officer's death. We have saw money being raised. We see meaningless lawsuits by family members, but not one tangible law policy changed. Next Generation Action Network has had a meeting with the Black Police Associations, the Dallas Police Association, but not one meeting with the mayor, not one meeting with the governing body that as a quorum to address this issue. We have saw meetings regarding state fair. We saw meetings regarding different things. But to act like July 7th didn't happen and to keep on coming to these city council meetings and not address the issue, the blood is still on the hand. And we have not been invited to talk about these issues. Now, of course, we have met individually with different council members and stand in solidarity with them on addressing this issue, but it has to be addressed. It's going on too long. We have to say something about this. We have to say something about the socio-economical element of our communities in Southern Dallas. We have to say something on how Grow South failed. We have to say something about what's going on when we talk about the food deserts. We have to be brought to the table about the crime in our community and addressing these issues. But we haven't been brought to the table. We only getting excuses after excuses after excuses. The problem is that no one has to come to you guys with a tangible plan. I'm 27 years old. The plan has been here for 20, 30 something years. Just implement it. Just fix it. You know the problem that we have in regarding police and community. Do something. Dallas Citizen Review Board. That's the problem. Give it subpoena power. Give it investigative power. That what works. Bring the police associations, the organizations, and the public safety committee together, and let's come up with a plan. Thank you.
Your next speaker, Kristen Yazdepan. I apologize for the mispronunciation earlier.
Good morning. My name is Christian Yazdepan. I live at 1028 Pavilion Street, Dallas, Texas. Can I get everybody's attention really quick? I know I just would love to see y'all's eyes. Sorry, I'm an educator, so sometimes I like seeing eyes. This morning around 3 a.m., my partner, who is 9 months pregnant, woke me up crying. I asked her if everything was okay, and all she could say is, "Trump won." I'll never forget that moment. It reminded me of the immediate sense of hopelessness and fear I felt when I first got word of the shootings in downtown Dallas the night of July 7th. This morning it is clear that our country is not only divided, but more importantly, it favors racism, Islamophobia, xenophobia, sexism, homophobia, and hate. And while some of you on this council may have voted for Trump, I do not believe for one second that you voted for that divisive rhetoric. I know many of you, and I know your heart is one of servant leadership, empathy, and inclusiveness. Knowing this brings me hope. I also know that the only way to defeat Trump's ideology now is to ensure that we educate and dismantle structural oppression and uplift our marginalized communities and grassroots organizations. You, as a civic institution, have the ability to send a clear message to Washington today, tomorrow, and hereafter, that Dallas, even with its tragic history, is not only listening to communities that are suffering, but is also hiring new city leadership that will set a path of cooperative community building. I implore you to work with the organizations like Mothers Against Police Brutality to ensure the passage of common sense policies, such as keeping officers off patrol and disarmed until all investigations are complete after a shooting, or drug testing officers in the aftermath of a shooting, just as we would do if they crashed your patrol car. Last night, both the Democratic and Republican parties lost because an outsider won. But you, as individuals and as a council, have the ability to shake off the shackles of politics as usual. You can create a new nonpartisan path that is empathetic to the fears and the realities of communities that are suffering, not just economically, but also emotionally. It's hard to trust that Dallas, who once was the seat of the KKK, and its city's history of creating policies that oppress the poor and people of color, can actually be a beacon of progressive actions. But I have faith. It's about all a lot of us have right now. And it's not just me that is depending on each one of you. It is my daughter and the millions of Dallas students and families who woke up this morning in fear. Thank you for your service and for your leadership.
Thank you.
Your next speaker, Jose Barrientos. Mr. Barrientos is the final speaker this morning.
Good morning, council members. My name is Jose Barrientos. I live at 723 Ezekiel Avenue in Dallas, Texas. I will eventually be a constituent of Mr. Callahan. I come today to talk about after-school programs and also one item on the agenda, item number 24, where we're putting more money into the boxing program. As you can see, I'm wearing my
power shirt.
Because that's great. I commend you guys on that. I appreciate that. And so we're working on other boxing clubs, and we want other boxing clubs to succeed. And so the other day, Butch called me and said, hey, we got a guy that's going to donate us a building that we can use to put up another boxing club in there. And so we started putting equipment in there so that we could, you know, and we got the kids to start cleaning up the building so we could use the building. And all of a sudden, Butch calls me and he says, we can't get the building open because the city won't let us open it. I said, I'm coming down to talk to the city because I got friends right here. I got Mr. Alonso. I got Mr. Griggs. Where's Mr. Griggs? There you are. That's my buddy. You know Butch real well, you know. We all know Butch. Most of us do, you know. Butch is a groundskeeper, cuts people's grass for a living, you know. He don't make a lot of money, you know. All we're asking is, you know, don't put a lot of limits on our clubs, okay? Because first of all, these clubs benefit you guys, okay? Everybody talks about these police officers getting shot, you know, all this bad stuff that's happening in our communities. Everybody keeps talking about we need solutions. I'm bringing you guys a solution, okay? I'm bringing you guys a real good solution. We have an after-school program where kids can go and train to be boxers, okay? There's no program out there that offers what boxing offers. A lot of people forget about what we offer. You know, 2013 was when we sent two girls to the Olympics out of Dallas. I know that's not an important thing, that girls going to the Olympics. To me, it is. You know, it's very important. We didn't have anybody go this year. We had one guy, I think, went from...
It's on.
Okay, sorry about that. Do I get to start over? Anyways, what I'm trying to do is give you guys a solution. You know, we've got a lot of problems in our community because we've lost touch with our community. You know, we don't even have solutions. We're like, okay, what are we going to do? You know, well, a boxing club is a good start, you know. And when the city says, hey, well, we're not going to let you open it up because you don't have enough parking spaces. Come on. Parking spaces are keeping us from touching the community? Give us a break, man. Butch don't make a lot of money, so we can't force Butch to pay for a permit, you know. You guys got to get more involved with these boxing clubs. You really do. I'll do it for you. You guys don't even got to go visit them, okay? Because ultimately, here's what happens. If our kids don't get off the streets and they don't have a program to go to, we got a beautiful place for them to go to. And I told you guys last time I was here, you go down I-30, as soon as you pass under that Hampton Bridge, you see that big old house they got for them. Two fences around it, right? Real nice. Two big old fences. It's called a juvenile detention center. That's where we put our kids when they don't act right in their communities. Am I still able to talk, or I think I'm done, I guess.
Oh, there it is. I was waiting for you to finish, but I was going to have Mr. Cosimus right here, if you would go to your left.
Okay.
And he's going to talk to you, and that way you can give him the address, et cetera. So
I've got it right here. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it.
Thank you, Mr. Barrientos, for coming.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for the great work you guys are doing.
That concludes your speakers this morning. Your first item on your voting agenda is approval of minutes of the October 26, 2016 City Council meeting.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or any changes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the ayes have it.
We move now to your consent agenda. There was one slight change from what you received last night. Actually, a couple of changes. So your consent agenda consists of agenda items number 2 through 31 and addendum items number 1 through 9. Agenda item number 9 is pulled for individual consideration due to a conflict by Councilmember Griggs. Agenda item 15 is pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Agenda item 20 is pulled by Councilmembers Gates and Young. Addendum items number 1 and 2 are pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Kingston. Therefore, remaining on the consent agenda for adoption are agenda items number 2 through 8, 10 through 14, 16 through 19, 21 through 31, and addendum items 3 through 9.
Okay. Do I hear a motion? There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed? And the ayes have it.
Councilmember Griggs has a conflict on agenda item 9 and will be withdrawing from the council chamber. Agenda item 9 is authorize a 3-year master agreement for traffic radar units, Applied Concepts, Inc., through the Houston Galveston Area Council of Governments, not to exceed $239,010.
Mr. Medrano.
Move for approval.
There's a motion and a second on item number 9. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the ayes have it.
Councilmember Griggs may return to the chamber. Agenda item number 15 is authorized number 1, acceptance of a reimbursable matching grant from Collin County in the amount of $250,000, and number 2, execution of an interlocal agreement with Collin County for the construction of a trail at Moss Glen Park, located at 5200 Bentwood Trail, not to exceed $250,000. Councilmember Grayson, pull the item.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Mayor. Thank you. I just wanted to take this opportunity to publicly thank Collin County Commissioner Duncan Webb, who was very instrumental in helping us get this grant to establish a new park in Dallas. And this is something that we've been working on for a long time, and there were some problems and mix-ups about the application process, but Commissioner Webb helped work through that. And I also wanted to thank John Jenkins with our park department for going to the commissioner's court and helping straighten things out. And this is going to be a new park for 4 acres, and it's going to have a walking trail, and it's going to have fitness stations, which I think is something that we haven't done in Dallas, which I think is a good idea. And eventually it'll have a playground and additional landscaping. And I also wanted to say thank you to Bruce Hatter and his wife, Betty, who have been the very picture of persistence and determination in getting this new park established. Without their efforts, I don't think this would have happened. And so it's going to be a great addition, and I just wanted to thank everyone involved. And I'm going to move approval.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any questions? Ms. Grayson, do you have an additional information?
Yes. No.
Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the ayes have it.
Agenda item number 20 is an ordinance amending Chapter 41, Sections 41-1 and 41-2 of the Dallas City Code to prohibit smoking on park grounds without exceptions, providing a definition of park property, providing the penalty not to exceed $200, providing a saving clause, providing a severability clause, and providing an effective date. Both Councilmember Gates and Councilmember Young pull the item.
Okay, Ms. Grayson.
On behalf of the Quality of Life Committee, I'm going to move approval.
There's a motion.
Second.
There's a second. And we have some discussions. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I move that we offer a substitute motion to approve to create the following exceptions to the smoking ban on the park property. On the golf course, if between the tee box of the first hole and the end of the green of the 18th hole, on the driving range, on the driving range or on the outdoor patio, at the Elm Fork shooting range, or at a park partner site. And furthermore, adding a definition of park partner that includes any entity that contracts with the city for the operation, maintenance, or management of a park.
There's a motion, or substitute motion, and a second, and there's discussion. Mr. Callahan, did you want to continue, or can I call? Never mind. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will be opposing Mr. Callahan's motion. It waters down the work of the Park Board's committee on this issue. They passed out of that committee a full ban. It got watered down at Park Board. This is an issue where what we're trying to do is lead by example. And providing exceptions dilutes our example. The lukewarm is spit out, essentially. And this will essentially make Dallas out of step with the national associations that advise parks. You have before you, I think, the report from the National Recreation Parks Association. Their recommendation of a ban is a complete ban, for the purpose of demonstrating that our values are that we do not allow smoking in public facilities, that people can take their kids to a park and not have them exposed to smoke. And putting in exceptions like those really are driven by incumbents who operate those facilities today who are fearful of what the changes will bring. But we can see what the changes will bring by looking at our peer cities, like Houston, like other places that have implemented a full ban. And the outcome is nothing. It has basically zero economic impact on the facilities. It's in the same way as we passed the smoking ban in restaurants and bars, there was much weeping and gnashing of teeth at the time. This council had to take two runs at it because the first ban that we passed had so many exceptions that it became completely unenforceable. And during the period of, I think, 02 to 07, no one complied with it. So I think that that's the risk we run here, is that you're doing something for effect, but you don't have the bravery to do it full-throatedly. And if we lack the courage to make this a complete ban, then I think our example, our public example, will be essentially crippled. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Clement.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd just like to make an amendment to Mr. Callahan's motion that includes the definition of park property means any property under the control and jurisdiction of the City of Dallas Park and Recreation Board.
Is that a friendly, and we would ask the...
I'll accept that change.
Okay, and the so there we go. Mr. Clyman, did you want to continue?
No, I just wanted to have clarification on what park property meant.
Well,
I guess I will continue with it. I do support Mr. Callahan's motion. These kinds of rules always concern me with regards to people's just personal decision-making and freedom, and I just always have concerns that we're not, stamping down this. We had a situation, obviously, with the bag ban where we had to repeal it. We've had, little free libraries we're trying to regulate. Over-regulation is a concern of mine. And trying to put in a health agenda or a social agenda in the ordinances that we're passing, I don't think serve the city well. I think what serves the city well is to making sure we're providing services like parks and park maintenance and picking up trash and delivering water and those things. So I'm comfortable with the limitations of smoking in parks with a couple of exceptions where we have contractors involved. And I say that it's, I think, reasonable to ask those contractors to make their own policies with regards to the parts of the facilities that they manage on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Could I ask Mr. Winters to come forward?
Good morning.
Thank you. I pulled this because I had some concerns. I know the Park Board worked really hard to get something passed and something that took a stance to keep our park grounds tobacco free. What is the I think this is very similar to what their work did. Is that true that the amendment that's on the floor by Mr. Callahan kind of represents what the Park Board passed?
Yes, ma'am. It's very similar to the amendment that came out of the Park Board.
Out of the Park Board. Okay.
Yes.
So this was their kind of their work is what this created. So, and they heard from, I think, the Arboretum and Arlington Hall and some operators of parkland that felt like it, they might put themselves at a disadvantage.
At the time that conversation happened, we have also more recently had conversations in particular with the Arboretum, and I think they are completely comfortable with the complete ban with no exceptions.
And what do you see as best practices in other cities? What have other cities done?
Well, we did a lot of benchmarking as research for this, and I believe we have we've got a list of cities that do have a complete ban that was presented to the City Council Committee in the briefing. And let me read you the cities that do have a complete ban. There's one city that we found that does have an exception. So the cities with a complete smoking ban in municipal parks include Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, San Antonio, San Diego, San Francisco. The city that we found that had a ban with exceptions, which are similar to the exceptions we have, was Austin was the only city that we found that had exceptions.
Austin has the exceptions.
Austin, yes.
Okay. So the other ones, even on their golf courses, and they, okay.
That's according to our research, that's our understanding.
Does this ordinance impact e-cigarettes at all?
It does not. So this is burning tobacco products, basically. So cigars, pipes, burning, but it does not include or cover, as the city's smoking ordinance does not address, e-cigarettes or vaping.
So that's still allowed. I guess, and that's still allowed even in indoor facilities. I mean, that's
yes, ma'am.
Not, we haven't addressed that.
That's my understanding.
All right, I think I can support Mr. Callahan. I mean, I think we could ease into it, and maybe, I know the CDC has put a recommendation by 2020. I reached out to the American Cancer Society because I thought this was really good. I thought they'd be extremely supportive of it. They responded back where they don't take positions on outdoor smoking facility, outdoor smoking, but they do think it's a good example for, that if people aren't smoking, kids aren't witnessing it, and maybe we can have a detrimental effect and people put cigarettes down. But I do feel like we are a little bit of a becoming a nanny city and determining where I'm opposed to smoking, that we're telling people and enforcing values on our values on people in certain areas. I don't think there's a secondhand smoke outside on a golf course is not going to, have a negative effect. So I could be, I'll be supportive of Mr. Callahan. But thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Callahan, did you make some?
I just made a motion, but I haven't spoken.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you very much,
thank
Madam Mayor. And I'm just also concerned about hyper-regulation. Pardon me. I have not smoked in 30 years, and I don't care to be around it personally, but I just think that we're just constantly creating more rules. And this, as Chair of Economic Development, I really just think this ties our hands. Well, a lot of these venues are things that we lease for parties and weddings and quinceañeras and all kinds of things, and people ought to have that flexibility. And again, this is just a limited exception. This is not a widespread ban. Clearly, at our basic recreation centers and most of our parks, I get it and I understand it. It keeps it cleaner. It's cheaper. But I don't see any problem with an open air out on the golf course, particularly at Fair Park. I think we're going to get some serious pushback, you know, at Fair Park with the venues there, not only during the State Fair of Texas, but also just any of the special events that we have. Also, people that usually shoot guns, they won't have a cigar in their mouth while they're doing it. That just kind of goes with the territory. So excuse me if anybody doesn't have a cigar in their mouth and they're shooting their gun. But anyway, I think there ought to be that flexibility there. And I just don't think a widespread ban is intelligent right now. I think, as Ms. Gates eloquently put, maybe easing into it, see how it goes for the rest of the parks. And if there's a movement or a desire to change that later, then we can consider that. But my park board member, Ms. Williams, and I share the fact that I think it gives us more flexibility in terms of leasing out our facilities. You know, it ties the arms of the contractual operators there, so I think we need to leave that in. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Winters, was there a timetable given or a deadline given when this would take an effect?
The ordinance is presented to you today was for it to be effective immediately. However, we think we need a rollout period for public education to ensure voluntary compliance over a period of time. And I believe that there may be an amendment offered that would establish an effective date in the spring of 2017.
Okay. If I could make a friendly amendment to the friendly amendment that this began March 1st, 2017.
Is that some? Well, you were the second one, so.
March 1st, 2017. And including the inception.
It's
yes,
just us adding
yeah.
to the
I'll
amendment.
Okay.
Mr. Castor, is that something we just?
Right
now, so if you're okay with it, I take it you're okay with it.
Yes, I was just want to just add because it doesn't.
Starting when again?
I'm okay with you.
March 1st, 2017.
Okay. Continue, sir. Or is that? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Gates. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Young. Yes, I'm sorry, Ms. Young.
Yes, just that I was going to ask the question. I didn't see when this went into effect. So that was going to be my question, and then just that I will be supporting the work of the – I think Ms. Grayson made a motion on behalf of the Quality of Life Committee, but I was the one – dissenting on the Quality of Life Committee, so I will be supporting the work of the Park Board. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Gates, second round.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just had a question about enforcement. How are we going to enforce this, or how would we even enforce if we had a total ban?
Well, again, we're going to go through an extensive education program if March 1st becomes the effective date, so we've got some time to work on education and voluntary compliance. We're going to utilize, you know, depend on peer-to-peer enforcement and self-policing. We're not trying to put a burden on the DPD or any other city department to write citations, although DPD has said that if there's a non-compliant users at parks, and especially if there's repeat violations, they will issue citations ultimately, but our
it's a criminal citation then? I mean, is it a ticket or is it misdemeanor?
Yeah.
How would it be? What would be the punishment if you were caught smoking?
And I'll have to ask city attorney, but the citations, if, as I understand it from the ordinance, would be $200 fine. So we would also, we're going to immediately, subject to your decision today, we'll put out temporary signage about the smoking ordinance that would be in place, and then we'll eventually have permanent signage on by the effective date of in the spring that would have all the park rules, but a new, with this new rule added
okay.
to
so
it.
What so what is the punishment? Can if you're caught, if we pass this or a full ban? I want to.
Good morning. I'm Jenny Chen, an assistant city attorney. The punishment is a Class C citation, and it's punishable by a fine up to $200.
Okay. So, and that will be in effect then at all park properties. And it, I mean, depending on how we pass it, with the exception, either sure. full or, and that is like equivalent to a parking ticket. I mean, a speeding ticket or what would?
A speeding ticket is also a Class C misdemeanor. So yes.
Okay, and it goes on your record then. For smoking.
It depends on how you adjudicate the ticket in court, but it could.
Okay. All right. I'm still supportive. I mean, we're going to, you know, end smoking at parks, I think, is a good thing. But there's been a lot of talk around about, you know, punishment on people. And so that's interesting. But I'm going to be supportive. I think it's prudent at this point to have the exceptions that Mr. Callahan has put forward. And I do have a lot of questions about how the enforcement chasing people around golf courses or chasing people. I think our DPD has a lot better actions that they need to be taking. So thanks.
Thank you. Okay, there's a motion on the floor by Mr. Callahan. Does anybody want me to read it again? If not, yes, we sure can. We will get a record vote, Ms.
Please cast your vote.
Okay. And this is for Mr. Callahan's motion.
Yeah, that is correct.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members McGue, Thomas, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson, Council Members Gates, Kleinman, Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo, Council Members Callahan and Young. Voting against, Council Members Medrano, Arnold, Clayton, Kingston, Grayson, and Griggs. Mayor Rawlings is absent on city business. The motion carries.
Okay, next item.
We move now to addendum item number 1 and 2. Addendum item 1 is authorized supplemental agreement number 10 to extend the service contract with Xerox State and Local Solutions, Inc., for services related to citation payments and delinquent collections from September 15, 2016 through December 15, 2016. Estimated revenue is $618,555. Addendum item number 2 is authorized number 1, a 5-year service contract with a 1-year renewal option for the collection of delinquent parking citation, Xerox State and Local Solutions, Inc., most advantageous proposer of 5, estimated annual revenue of $813,160, and number 2, payment for services related to automated license plate reader hosting, on-site service, and wireless connectivity. Councilmember Kingston, pull the items.
Okay. Ms. Gates?
Move for approval.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I pulled the item because I continue to think that Xerox is simply not an appropriate partner for the City of Dallas. You will recall that Xerox was our operator for red light cameras, and that even after the work of the Mayor's Poverty Task Force indicating that credit marking was an incredibly onerous proposition for poor people in Dallas, Xerox refused to change its practice of credit marking our poor citizens, and in fact was forced to stop credit marking. Actually, they didn't stop credit marking. It's just that they were such a low-grade collector that the credit agencies refused to accept the marks. The credit agencies have done more to alleviate poverty in Dallas than a lot of city leaders have, which I find kind of crazy. Anyway, also, Mr. Gonzalez, I think we had a discussion around the Mill Creek issue about contractors that simply were not going to be considered by the City of Dallas anymore. Where are we in that process?
It,
It has come up as a part of a discussion in terms of specific contracts, but I don't know that there has been any work done as far as a banning of any particular company across the board.
How would you like to proceed on that? I'd like to pursue that a little bit.
Well, let me get back with the city attorney's office, and we'll get a memo back to the council and have some suggestions along those lines.
I would appreciate that. I think that obviously your office would need to have some clear administrative procedures, and we don't need to just be doing that ad hoc.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Ms. Gates.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. There's a motion and a second. And no further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed? There is two opposed that reflect Mr. Kingston and Mr. Griggs, please. And the item passes. Next item.
Agenda item number 32 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have for full council appointment to the Reinvestment Zone 8 Board Design District, Michael B. Kuttner, nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Alonzo. For individual appointment to the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission, we have Brandon P. Johnson, nominated by Councilmember Griggs, and Josh Kogan, nominated by Councilmember Medrano. Those are your nominees this morning.
Is there a motion? There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed? And the ayes have it.
I'm sorry. Mayor Alonso, who made the motion, please?
Mr. Medrano made the motion, and Mr. Wilson made the second.
Thank you.
Next item.
Agenda item 33 was deleted on the addendum. Agenda item 34, which was corrected on the addendum, is an ordinance abandoning a portion of Quality Lane to Ainbinder Northwest Highway, LLC, the abutting owner, containing approximately 36,127 square feet of land located near the intersection of Abrams Road and Northwest Highway, authorizing the quitclaim and providing for the dedication of approximately 17,023 square feet of land needed for an easement.
Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to defer this item to December 14th, 2016.
There's a motion to defer for December the 14th. Okay, and there is a second. And any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. And against, and the ayes have it. Next item.
The following statement will apply to agenda items 35 through 38. By making and seconding the motions, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials, to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the cases, and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Therefore, for adoption, the items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 35 is authorize the final renewal option for 7 business assistance centers for a 12-month service contract to provide technical assistance, incubator space, and other support services to low to moderate income persons owning or starting micro enterprises for each contract as follows. Number one, Greater Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number two, the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number three, Centex Certified Development Corporation, DBA Business and Community Lenders in an amount not to exceed $40,000. Number four, Business Assistance Center, Inc., in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number five, Organization of Hispanic Contractors Association, DBA Regional Hispanic Contractors Association, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Number six, Organization of Hispanic Contractors Association, DBA Regional Hispanic Contractors Association, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. And number seven, Centex Certified Development Corporation, DBA Business and Community Lenders, in an amount not to exceed $80,000. Again, the item requires 2 seconds for adoption.
Do I have a motion?
Madam Chair, a point of information. Are we going to take these up all at one time, these four together, collectively or individually?
Yes. It's collective. I mean, is it all together? It's all together.
Well, I understand agenda item will be 37 will have a different action. So would you like for me to?
I would prefer to separate these one by one, if I may.
All seven?
No, you mean separate agenda items.
Yeah,
separate agenda items. I understand she only read 35. This is only 35.
Oh, I'm sorry. Initially, she mentioned all of these four. Yeah.
No, she was just explaining what we needed to do on.
Okay, I misheard. So I move approval of item 35 to start the.
There's a motion and a second, Minister Wilson.
2 seconds, please.
And there's a motion and a second, and I need another one. Thank you. There's 2 seconds. And is there a discussion on this, Mr. Kleiman? Okay. So there's a motion and 2 seconds, and now for discussion, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will be voting against this item. I have not been convinced of the effectiveness of the BACs. Economic Development Department tried to put together a program that would really leverage this money through our community colleges in conjunction with the BACs so that we get some really educational training programs involved in entrepreneurship and starting new companies. And with the exception of one BAC that agreed to use half of their budget for that, all these BACs just stayed entrenched in the current methodology, and I'm just not convinced that they're effective programs, so I'll be voting against this item.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had opportunity to meet with economic development staff and several organizations who are receiving funds from BAC, and they expressed interest in terms of the current plan and concerns as far as the proposed plan. At this point, this more or less is phasing out, and it's going to move into a different area. We're going to look at reallocating the funding. I think it was wise to consider moving this from standard CDBG funds because of so many of the hurdles that they have to jump as it relates to federal regulations. And so because we're at this point, so many organizations have utilized the funds, and I don't know if all the council received it, but we did get an email. It may have just been the Economic Development Committee with more or less a status in terms of over the past few years, how these BACs have done, how many businesses have developed from it. So since we're at the point where we are, I'm in support of the motion.
Okay, there's Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I want to advocate for this. While I was a bit dismayed that we moved from the CDBG funding and over to this, the general budget, I think the reason that was done because it is an administrative nightmare to go through CDBG for this amount of money for basically $80,000 for each of these units. My understanding is economic development spending probably $350,000 of administrative time to be in compliance with the HUD regulations, and that's too bad. However, I do see the need, and as my colleague and my vice chair of economic development said, he spoke about the status of the scorecard, the things that have been done with that. Those organizations have caused or created quite a few startups, and I think it's a very useful tool, particularly in the minority community. I am a bit upset that we don't have one in Pleasant Grove. We have to go to South Dallas to get to that, access that. I've long tried to advocate for something to be directly in the Pleasant Grove or Southeast Dallas area. Hopefully in the future that can be the case. But we need to build on entrepreneurship. We need to grow jobs. And these are tools that we can get there. These assistance centers are put there to help the young entrepreneurs, those people that are striving to build a business. So I'm going to be in favor for it yet another year, and hopefully we can change the way of doing business and work with the community college district so that we can get more bang for a buck. Thank you.
Thank you. There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed? One opposed. Let it reflect. I'm sorry. Let it reflect. Two opposed, Mr. Kleiman and Mr. Magoo. Okay, and the ayes have it. Thank you. Next item, 36.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Agenda item 36 is authorize a new markets tax credit transaction between the Dallas Development Fund and its subsidiaries, Capital One NA and its subsidiaries, and Cristo Rey Dallas High School, Inc. and its affiliates for facility improvements and new construction at 1064 North St. Augustine Drive. The item requires 2 seconds for adoption.
Mr. Callahan.
I move approval of item number 36.
There's 1 second. I need two. Thank you. Did you get that? Mr. Grayson. Callahan and then Mr. Watson and Ms. Grayson. There's a motion and 2 seconds.
I heard Councilmember Thomas first.
Okay.
Mr. For Thomas. The second?
Yes.
So fine.
That's as long as there's two. As long as we have two.
Thank you.
There's a motion and a second. And discussion, Ms. Arnold.
Just need clarification, please. On this particular item, it reads authorization of a new markets tax credit transaction between the Dallas Development Fund and its subsidiaries. And it says no cost consideration to the city. So could I get just an update on what the actual market credit amount was? This is so that my constituents would understand the value of what's being transferred. Is this not a charter? This is going to a charter school?
No, Cristo Rey is not a charter school. It's a private Catholic school.
Oh, it's not a DISD school is what I was
saying. It is not a DISD school. The reason it says no cost consideration is because the New Market Tax Credit Program is a federal program, so there's no cost to the city.
So how much was in the tax credit that we're transferring?
The tax credit that we're proposing is $7.5 million, which the cash equivalent of that is about $2.9 million.
So when I say this federal money that we are transferring to this fund, the DDF fund,
the Dallas Development Fund is our New Market Tax Credit vehicle. We are actually combining with Capital One Bank. It says Capital One Bank and its subsidiaries. So Capital One Bank is using its New Market Tax Credit program for $2.5 million. We have $7 million of our allocation, and then Capital One is the buyer of these tax credit investments.
So is this new money for the tax market for a new year? Have we begun a new year with the tax credit?
Well, we received a $45 million allocation in 2014, of which we have committed $32 million. So we'll be utilizing what we're proposing here is utilizing another $7 million of that allocation, which was done in 2014.
All right. So I want to get some clarification because we began talking about the tax credits. Remember when we bought the oven for the bakery, the bakery that didn't have an oven to bake the bread and we wanted to upgrade the oven. You remember that conversation?
I'm sorry.
You remember we purchased an oven for the bakery that needed an upgrade. I believe that's in District 8. Remember we talked about federal tax, the new market credit. This was last year, so I'm trying to determine if there's new allocations from the federal government on the market credit. Are we still in the last phases of the money that was distributed?
This is the last. These are the last phases of the 2014 cycle that we still have. We will be going in for a new allocation in 2017.
All right. So you're telling me we have how much available for use for other projects?
We will have right now we have $13 million of allocation. This is a $7 million proposal, so we will have $6 million of tax credit allocation remaining after this.
Has this $6 million been spoken for?
I think there are various projects in the pipeline, but we have no commitments. We have no letters of intent out right now.
All right, so what I need, if you're telling us this, and I need this to be on the record because I'm getting a little bit, it's kind of getting blurred. These lines are getting blurred for me in terms of how this money works. My understanding at once was that we received the funding. The information I received was annually, so I guess I'm wrong. We don't receive money annually from the federal government for the new markets program.
Yes, and let me just clarify, we do not receive it annually. How about this? We don't automatically receive tax credits. We have to go in and apply for them, very, very competitive process. So the last time that we applied was 2014. We're just about finished with that allocation, so we will go in 2017 to apply for a new allocation.
Well, there's some news microphones. I've never seen anything like it. 2016, we can't have microphones.
Now, let's try
yes,
that.
I can hear.
So for the record, so that my constituents can follow me, I'll be hosting conversations around this whole notion of support for economic development and quality of life projects in District 4. So I want to make sure we're taking the correct information back and those members of District 4 who are listening can get an understanding. So we have some $6 million left from the New Markets Tax Credit Fund. Our understanding is that there are some projects that are in the pipe but have not been decided on, and so there is an opportunity to, number one, get a list of all of those that are potentially in the pipe.
Yes, that's
all right,
right.
So we want to get a copy of that documentation so I'll know what's in the pipeline. And number two, are these documents that are in the pipeline, are they requests for RFPs, or how is this working?
No, they are only people that have discussed the possibility of utilizing them. And let me make sure.
He's still off. My constituents can't hear him.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I need my constituents to hear you too. So could we get the mics together? I want to make sure I'm getting my story right.
Okay.
Carl, can you please try the podium microphone again, please?
How about this? Is this better?
Oh, much better. Okay. I think they can hear you.
For the benefit of your constituents, we have a $6 million tax credit allocation. That's probably equivalent to about $1.5 to $2 million of cash, okay? And right now we have, you know, various projects, people that have talked to us about that, but no commitments, so that if someone wants to come in and talk about a proposal, that's certainly their right to do that, and we'd be happy to entertain that.
So what are these people looking for? They no commitments. What are they? What's in the way of them actually committing to follow through?
A lot of things. You mean the types of projects?
Yes, I'm just trying to get an understanding on what's prohibiting them or what has been your general feel.
Well,
what's happening?
Let me do this. I'll bring you a copy of all the transactions that we have done over the last several years, so you can see specifically, but we have some of them have been we have worked with an AIDS recovery center. We have worked with there has been a a group, Vogel Alcove, here very close to City Hall. We have done we have worked with grocery stores in the past. There are some for-profit, some not-for-profit. There's a pretty broad range of things that we can support.
Well, those in the pipe. I'm just trying to get so that we can talk about this when I have my conversation. Those that are in the pipe, what seems to be some obstacles for them? Are there any obstacles?
If I might help with that, Carl, some of those projects, there's a number of different issues that they would still be working through, whether or not it's other financing that they're looking for that they have not gotten finalized. They might be still in developing various aspects of the project. And so there's, it doesn't fully come to here until all those other hurdles are accomplished and finished up.
All right.
Ms. Arnold, one thing I will add, Ms. Lepeska just told me, we do not have any formal applications right now, just conversations.
So, but there is an opportunity to have formal conversations with someone who's interested in pursuing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's that opportunity, and we are going in also next year for a new application. So there's every opportunity.
All right. So but right now, is the last question would be, is there anything on our website or anything that's going out to our constituents or developer community that allows them to enable them to understand there's still an opportunity through this
program to apply?
There is, on the Economic Development website, there is an item there that describes how the New Market Tax Credit Program works, and people can call me or call Heather Lepesky.
All right, so could we look at that to make sure it's reflective of the fact that there's still an opportunity with whatever funds that we have? If we're advocating the transparency, the amount that you started out 2 years ago is not going to be there.
I am quite sure that the website itself does not indicate that specific fact.
All right. So how do we reach out? I've had a number of developers to write, send emails, and so they're interested in other projects and four. So my question would be, how do we get the communication out so that it is up to date and they understand that possibly there's an X amount of dollars now available through this program? Is there a problem with you upgrading the website?
Let me do two things. I'll make sure that we make some reference to that on the website. I will also provide you with a memorandum so that you can make that information
available. So we can
post
it publicly?
Yes.
That sounds fantastic, and I appreciate you enabling my constituents to get a better understanding of how we do business in the city of Dallas.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. You just made the motion, right?
I did. I've not spoken. I just want to advocate on behalf of something that's a very positive thing in our district. This is the second year of Cristo Rey High School. Those of you that know the area was formerly, St. Augustine School. St. Augustine School has merged with St. Philip's School, basically K through 8th grade, and now we have the Cristo Rey High School. There's about 30 of these particular type high schools across the country. It's a Chicago model, I think a Jesuit school, and it's a work-study type program. These kids, they work one day a week so they understand what the work world is all about, and it helps defray part of their tuition. So this is a very positive thing. This is about choice. Obviously, we're proud of our DISD schools, proud of our charter schools, but this is just one more opportunity for parents to choose an academy approach, for their kiddos. So this school eventually will be about 600 people. I think the New Markets Tax Credit is a great vehicle to get there. It allows these financial institutions to put the money in and then get these federal tax credits back for basically carrying. And we've got a great team built out there. We're under construction with a new building as we speak, and it's going to be very dynamic. Eventually, they will take over that entire St. Augustine Church there, and then St. Augustine Church will go across the street and build a new church. So we're really excited about it. I hope to have your support as we move this project forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss. Okay, never mind. There's a motion in 2 seconds. And if there's no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed? Reflect Mr. Kingston and Mr. Griggs are in opposition for this item, and the motion passes. Next item.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson would like to be recognized on agenda item number 37.
Okay. Mr. Wilson.
Madam Mayor, I move to defer this item to December 14th.
There's a motion and a second to defer to the 14th of December, and any discussions? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye. All those opposed? And the ayes have it.
Agenda item number 38 is authorized number 1, a start date of June 1, 2016 for grants recommended by the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board's Grant Committee on June 13, 2016, and a and approved for recommendation to the city manager by the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Advisory Board on July 27, 2016. Number 2, amendments to the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Grant Program. And number 3, an amendment to resolution number 15-1264, section 2.8.b, to separate the eligible programs. The item requires 2 seconds for adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Sir, I was walking over to talk with my colleague. What was the item?
Item number 38.
Yes, I move approval on item 38.
There's a motion in 2 seconds. Ms. Young and Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
And the ayes have it.
That concludes your items this morning, Madam Mayor.
Okay, it is 10:17. Colleagues, we will go into executive session. It is now 10:17 a.m. on November 9, 2016. The City Council will now go into closed session under Sections 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues related to the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System and the City of Dallas versus DCSJ Edwards LLC and others. And we will be back at 1 p.m.
The public's attention, please. If anyone in the audience is planning to speak on any zoning item, would you please raise your hand so that our staff can give you a speaker's card? That does assist staff to follow up with you after the meeting if necessary. Thank you.
Good afternoon. It is now 1:05 p.m. and today is November the 9th, 2016. The City Council has completed its closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. And at 1:05 of November 9, we have returned to the open session. Madam Secretary, we can proceed now.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson would like to be recognized on agenda item 44.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll move to defer this item to January the 11th, 2017.
There's a motion on item number what?
44.
On item number 44, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And the ayes have it.
Thank you. Councilmember Arnold will need to be recognized on agenda item 46, which we will hold till later till she appears, Madam Mayor.
46, okay.
Okay. We proceed now to your consent zoning agenda, which consists of agenda items number 39 to 43. Those items will be read into the record collectively, after which speakers will be called, both in opposition or in favor of the City Plan Commission's recommendation for approval. Agenda item number 39 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 759 for RR Regional Retail District uses in the location generally bounded by West Mockingbird Lane, Forest Park Road, Empire Central, and Maple Avenue. Agenda item 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an RR Regional Retail District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property on the south side of the President George Bush Turnpike and the north side of Frankfurt Road, east of Coit Road. Agenda item 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1907 for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store greater than 3,500 square feet on property on the southeast corner of Samuel Boulevard and North Jim Miller Road. Agenda item 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a restaurant on property on the southwest side of PB Road, northwest of Garland Road. Agenda item 43 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU3 mixed-use district on property on the south side of Quaker Street at the terminus of Iberia Avenue. Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Could you repeat the item numbers, please, again?
Yes, it'll be 39 through 43.
And there is a motion, and there is a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the ayes have it.
Thank you. We move to agenda, again, 44 was earlier deferred. Agenda item number 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a restaurant without drive-in service on property on the east side of South Buckner Boulevard between Sine Road and Bearden Lane.
Madam Mayor, we sent 6 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? If you'll please come forward. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You notice the timer at the podium. Please state your name and address for the record and stay to the topic.
We could not hear you. Is this for zoning case Z156208?
No, ma'am.
Okay, it's thank you.
Not yet. Thank you. Agenda item number 45. Any speakers in favor?
Sorry, we also apologize. My name is Randy Ackman. We also thought that it was 156208. It's not something regarding Sine Road? Could you repeat that?
Well, okay. So the agenda item that is currently up is agenda item number 45, and that is zoning case 156320WE.
Sorry, I apologize.
I'll be sure and read the zoning case to assist the public. So are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor.
He did ask about Sine, and that's in Sine.
We had no registered speakers on any of the public hearing items. We did not receive any calls from anybody that desired to register.
Okay, give me a... Mr. Callahan? Did you want me to continue or you want me to...
On item 45, I move to close the public hearing, move to approve the zoning change as recommended by City Plan Commission.
There's a motion and a second on item number 45. Is there any discussion? Mr. Callahan? Did you want to say something? No. Okay. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And the ayes have it.
All right, we're going to go ahead and skip agenda item number 46, because Councilmember Arnold is not present at the moment. And that is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a liquor store on property at the northwest corner of Ross Avenue and North Haskell Avenue. The zoning case is 156-283-JM.
Madam Mayor, we sent 18 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area of request. We received 1 reply in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, if you'll please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and stay to the topic. Address your comments to
Councilman,
Mayor Alonzo.
My name is Alan Caratapian. I'm the applicant for this. I received a letter from Bryan Place Neighborhood and Peak Edition Neighborhood, which is in the middle of my liquor store, and I got approval for support from each of them. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers in favor? No further speakers, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Callahan, I have your light on. I want to make sure it's not on. Okay. I know I was going to call Mr. Medrano, but I wanted to let you know that your light is on. Mr. Medrano?
Yeah, this was a pretty tough decision for me to make. I know that I got some letters of support from some of the neighborhood associations, and I spoke to them about this liquor store. It's just I'm having trouble having to do a zoning change to support a liquor store coming into the neighborhood. There's plenty of beer, alcohol, and other liquor stores in the area, and there's a park right behind this one. I spoke to them, the tenants. I went and talked to some of the residents that actually live closer to this location, and they were not in favor. they can't come here today because they work. So this time I'm not going to be able to approve this zoning change, and I'm asking you guys to deny it. Thank you.
Do we have to specify with or without prejudice? No? Okay. There's a motion and a Monday. Okay. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And the ayes have it on item number 47.
Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Wilson would like to be recognized on agenda item number 46.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to defer the zoning change to February the 8th, 2017.
February 8th, 2017. There's a motion and a second and no discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye. All opposed? And the ayes have it.
Thank you. Madam Mayor, that concludes your items. We do have a speaker. We had one cancellation. Our only registered speaker now for the afternoon is Marvin Crenshaw, who is not present. That concludes your action items and speakers, Madam Mayor.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now 1:14 p.m. on November 9th, 2016, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.